tell you this. Brad has been looking for a staple karaoke song.
That's true.
Yeah. And he, by the way, we've narrowed down like a few that are great for you.
Yeah.
Cake Going the Distance is a killer one for Brad.
Not a lot of melodic.
I will say, yeah. I also pitched this on Tuesdays with Stories to Mark Norman because he can't sing either. So I did use that. But
I think it's too long.
We thought we could do And Together Now by Limp Bizkit. Sure. Where I'm Fred Durst because there is a little bit more vocal stuff. Method Man, there's not a lot of melody.
Yeah. Yep.
We also thought about Getting Jiggy With It.
Nah, he could do that.
Nah, he could do that.
I'm too slow. And also,
you could do that.
I'm the least jiggy person I know.
Yeah, that is fair. Yeah. I don't think you do get jiggy.
No.
But
not even alongside it.
But you have like aspirations. Some would say delusions of becoming jiggy. Right?
Yes.
I aspire to jiggy. Thank you very much.
So I'm thinking Angel by Shaggy because that voice is so similar.
Life what about party when it's all done? Sticking with the Will Smith millennium.
All right.
Right.
Oh, what you just reminded me of a tweet.
Could you focus yourself on simply saying Bienvenido a Miami?
Ooh, okay. Bien. No.
Oh. No? Okay.
We'll, bean. We'll
can I ask you?
Bean burrito to Miami.
You know what? I'm going to pull back the curtain. It's been too long without
we haven't
curtain.
Even started the episode.
So I was thinking of actually start the episode and we'll pull back the curtain.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Fun Bearable. I am Brad Rohr.
And currently at 3:20 p.m., I am Ray Harrington.
My name is Charlie Boy Staten. And to pull back the curtain.
Thank you.
On this episode. We've known each other for quite a while.
Yes.
Yeah. We've been working together for a while. But Brad, my experiences with Brad...
A lot of people often say to me, I should have gotten to know you guys more before starting this. Yeah, I don't know what they mean
before agreeing to work with you.
Yeah, I don't know what they mean. But
Brad and I have a lot different shared experiences than Ray and I or Ray and Brad.
Right.
Would you do karaoke?
I don't
even know.
I don't love karaoke. I think part of it is like... Part of the karaoke thing of like, isn't it special to be on a stage holding a microphone? I'm kind of like, that's what I do, right? I'm not saying, I don't mean like, ooh, look at everybody looking at me. I'm so used to it. That's not what I mean.
Sounds like that.
But it's not, to me, it feels alien. Like I'm on a stage with a microphone,
right?
But my job is very different here. In fact, it's not even a job.
So
right?
I will
if
say,
anything, the job is on the audience.
I'll say this. I know what you're talking about because that's like a typical karaoke like movie setup.
Mm-hmm.
The karaoke that we go to here and there is a...
It's like street karaoke.
It's more like I'm just like walking down the street
and
at like two or 3 a.m. like, and I just start shrieking and squealing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everybody sucks.
And there's like a drunk woman in the back going, "He sounds great, right?"
she's not saying that.
So we go to the Boombox in Providence, and they have a big area in the front. That's what you're talking about, which is very typical. But they also have rooms that probably seat around 12, and you have a big screen.
Yeah, so
and
that's, you pick it's all your more songs. Like the traditional Japanese version.
And you have two microphones that you pass around, and people can kind of choose. It's a little bit less like all the focus is on one person.
It's more of a parody.
Which I think is kind of more fun.
Yes.
I agree.
I prefer that.
For sure, yeah.
It's more casual, I guess.
My issue is, in my experience of doing karaoke, is that I will pick a song for a goof.
Yes.
And oh boy, the first 30 seconds are so funny. But this song is 4.5 minutes
long. I went on a date with a girl. This is going back 10 years.
Okay.
More than that.
First 30 seconds.
Just,
hilarious.
Yeah, so 10 years ago, that means. Yeah. Let's see,
she's able to rent a car now.
So, wow.
So we went on a date.
Just.
We went to the Wild Colonial and we played like darts or pool or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we said, let's go do.
Why did you turn to me?
I don't know if they have darts or pool there.
I don't know either.
Maybe they have both.
Why would I know what's going on at a bar, much less a wild bar?
You've gone to Wild Colonial.
Well, it's called Mild Colonial when I'm there.
You're
waiting for a Mild Colonial joke and you did it.
You have the spectrum.
The Encyclopedia Brown like attention to detail.
That's exactly right. I'd be like,
okay, an Encyclopedia Brown level attention to detail,
mm-hmm.
and a Charlie Brown level. Fill in the blank.
And his behavior,
Antonio Brown.
Great third.
And deep down, Chris Brown.
Oh no!
All the Browns are back.
We did it. Ooh, cut that part out. Where Chuck said all the Browns are bad. What is this, 2001?
Wait, are we rolling? So I was going to say, yeah, you have an attention to detail where I'll, like, we'll watch a movie and I'll be like, oh, I love this character. And you're like, and you'll be like, oh, I like that he had a calculator in his back pocket in the third scene. You know what I mean? Like, you'll say something like that. But we went on a date there.
And that's a porn?
It's Chekhov's calculator.
Oh, yeah.
Was the name of the porn.
Eventually the numbers will get crunched.
So we went there. Then we went to
58008.
She wanted to go to karaoke. And it was just the two of us. So we did the traditional stage thing that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And she's like, let's do, what's that song that Vanilla Ice stole? Under Pressure.
Yeah.
She's like, let's do that. And I'm like, yeah, we all know that song, Under Pressure.
No. It's like, that's then, 6 minutes long.
We go on and the verses start. And I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, world, I don't know. Like, I had no idea of the melody.
That's the hard part.
Even the melody.
And you're just waiting, like, when do I get to the part where I go, get it eat up? Get it eat up, Dale. Right? Like, that's all you want. That's all you want in that song.
I know. Whoa.
Da, 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 da,
I wish I had my Dr. Genius hat.
Write it down. Just write it down.
30-second karaoke.
Ooh.
I'm in.
I genius fight it.
I will.
I genius fight karaoke.
I will sign on for this James Cordenification.
No. He's doing it in a car. That makes it more complicated.
Yeah, just because it sounds like karaoke.
We want to do. We're doing just the big part that everyone likes. Maybe we repeat it. Just that part.
Okay. Whoop,
there it is.
Rubbing up against another investment that I have personally.
Oh.
Scaryoke.
James Corden did do Scaryoke.
Oh. Well, then I need to talk to my entertainment lawyer.
Oh, no.
Hello.
You're not going to believe who I also represent. Yeah.
They call me Rerun. Not the one from... Never mind. No.
They call me Lawyer Genius Esquire.
This guy sounds legit.
Yes.
Yeah, but it is. It is a... Yeah, that's a weird thing.
Bite-sized karaoke is not bad in terms of avoiding the... Basically, it's called avoid the verses.
Yeah, we just want the stuff that everybody knows. Unless the song where like the verse is more popular than the chorus.
There are some of those.
I just want to do... the opening couple of lines of some songs. Like, that's all
when
I
wake up, yeah. I don't know I'm going to be. That's, like, one of the most important parts of that song.
Sure. Easy. Yeah. I'm also thinking, like, most of the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. Mm. I would karaoke the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. You have no idea.
Yeah. I don't. I have no idea.
So I was raised by three women. Mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother.
It was a real Golden Girl situation.
Truly. And I was just like the boy.
Oh, I thought you were Sophia.
I thought you were going to... Yeah, I thought you were going to be the slutty one.
Oh.
I was a child.
So dumb.
But that soundtrack, like, my mom loved that movie. That soundtrack was playing and stuff like that. It wormed its way into my skull.
Uh-huh.
And now... I love the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. Like, I just want to do those songs, and I think it would be funny, and I think it's funnier because I know most of the lyrics.
Yeah.
But I think some songs are just give me the opening. Like, I only want to do, when I hold you like this, you kiss me like that.
Yeah.
And then that's it. I don't, something, it's all coming back to me now. And that's Titanic.
Yeah.
And that's all I would say. I would go, that's Titanic. And then I would leave the stage.
I think that it's, in terms of the amount of karaoke songs that are mostly highlight moment and a lot of stuff you don't know versus people know the whole song, it's got to be 70% highlight moments and 30% that everyone knows the whole song.
What's funny is when I just did a few weeks back the Comics Roadhouse in Mohegan Sun.
Yes.
We did some episodes in the middle the weekend. Yeah, at the community center. Which
did you see the comment we got today on
that
episode?
Bad update on the community center.
It's just a very funny comment. I'll read it after this. I thought it was very funny.
For sure.
Go ahead.
And so... often at the end of the shows, like the comedy club is within that space. You have to go through quote unquote the roadhouse, which is like the restaurant with a bar. They got like a mechanical bull. They have a band play. They do all that stuff. Then the comedy club doors are there. You go into the actual club and you can't hear any of that stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
But what it meant was at the end of the night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, leaving the club, karaoke is playing. And then the regular band takes over.
Yeah.
So they do karaoke first. And walking out and hearing some of those karaoke choices, where it's just like, that's a bold choice.
Yeah.
And I understand why. One of the songs that immediately comes to mind, Four Non-Blondes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? That the name of the song.
What's Up.
What's Up. Yeah. Right. And which is weird because the line is What's Going On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I heard somebody saying that where I was just like, in the verse, I was like, no, 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 no. Don't go to the chorus. You'll never make it. Right? Turn back now.
Yeah.
I think that people will... That's a deceptively difficult song to sing.
Yeah.
I will say, though, if you're
it's
in
a group song.
Yeah, in a room with 10 or 12 people.
Fun.
Yeah.
Group awesome. Song.
Yeah, but
awesome.
On a stage nobody, in front of people that aren't choosing to be subjected to it.
Yeah.
Whoo, yeah. It's a rough one. But don't get me wrong. Like, the appeal of standing up and belting out that song sounds fun to me.
Yeah.
I just don't want to do it with strangers. You know what I mean? Like, I just want I think the group dynamic works.
What would you do? This is a serious question. It's going to sound like I'm joking. Your birthday's coming up.
Uh-huh.
Not anytime soon, but it is coming up at some point.
Everybody's birthday is always coming up.
Yeah.
So what if you, like, Kalina's like, we have a special night planned, and you got in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, Finn is going to stay with, Kalina's parents, whatever.
Sure.
And it's your birthday. We're going to celebrate. And she comes, and we go to the boombox, and we rented a private room. It's me, Brad, Brian Bowden, like friends of ours. And we had like 10 of us in a room, and we just did karaoke, just us all night.
I'd be into it.
It's fun.
I'd be into it.
It's fun.
For sure.
I really enjoy that.
Can I have it be somebody else's birthday, and then I still get to do something else for my birthday?
Yeah.
We all get there. I'm like, okay, everybody, this counts as Chuck's birthday. Yeah.
It may be my birth, and you have the sash and the crown. It may be my birthday.
So these are Chuck's presents now, too.
Yeah.
Look at that big, big shirt. You'll never fit it. Isn't that fun? Oh, look at those big, big undies. Very loose in the crotch. Very loose in the crotch.
Why did we buy Ray underwear for his birthday?
It's a gag. It was a joke. So here's what I wanted to say. When you brought up the filming in the library. You brought up how we filmed the library? Yeah. I just saw this comment came in today.
Our community center.
Yeah. A community center in New Haven. We recorded there. This comment came in today. It's on the first one, which came out a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the comment. Chuck's beard looks great like this, and y'all look cool in this episode. I was already feeling that way when I noticed and loved how the mic cords are color-coded with each of you. As a bear of fun, who's also an ant, I love Clerks 3 and found it moving. For shame, you guys. JK, I saw your point. But it's like, what a pleasant comment to be like, this looks great. You guys all look cool. Good job with the mic cables. I disagree lightly with your thing, but I understand how you feel.
Yeah,
it's such
wonderful.
A nice comment.
I like that.
That's peak comment.
If we can cultivate that audience.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I thought.
Do the views from that comment mirror your own thoughts?
Yes.
Please continue watching and find like-minded people and bring them on board. We want nice folk.
I think
that's the thing. I would be really happy with fun, bearable, hitting a certain level, higher than where it is now,
right?
Both on board and off board.
Mm-hmm.
If we had like a nice audience that was just like, it's just enough to do a whole bunch of fun stuff and afford to do it and go out and do live shows and whatever, but it's just enough.
I know what you mean.
But they're good people.
Yeah.
I'll take that over, you know, we're selling out in an arena full of dickbags.
Yeah. I do think we have, like, the audience that we have now is super nice.
That's why I continue to do this. Are you kidding me?
Like, the idea of the viewpoint being like, I don't agree with what you're saying, but I see your points, is like the type of person you want to spend your time with.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
It was in my vows to my wife. I will say just a quick update.
You did sing the vows.
Yeah,
I did sing them. Yeah,
two of the four non-blondes.
Yeah, we're on the same page here. Yeah,
I'm getting married,
right?
And I said, hey, yeah.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. That should have been illegal.
I don't have to do the audio mix on this episode. So.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
What if it cuts? What in that moment, it's clearly auto-tuned. Where I'm like, it's just a goof.
Ooh, you know what would be cool? You know how we're always talking about April 1st? We want to do a kooky episode.
Yeah.
That should be a good running joke, is crazy episodes for April 1st. What if we did an all karaoke episode? All it is us doing karaoke. No,
I hate it. I hate it.
I think YouTube's gonna hate it.
And we each pick each other's songs.
No, nope, I don't like it. Nope. This is a worse idea than your first idea, which was Rapril Fools. Which is like, what is that about? What are we supposed
it's
to do?
It's Rapril Fools. It was this, but just with rap songs.
That's different.
You read it. You read it.
I apologize. Yeah. Oh, I have seen. That is another thing in karaoke, right? Mm. And then I'll get to the update about the community center, and then we'll move on to the prepared topics. I promise. I swear. Don't hold me to it.
Yeah, you owe us a story.
I do.
You owe, Brad owes us a thing.
Yeah. Listen, we have a lot of debts coming to the table. So in karaoke, there is a thing I've often seen, and one in particular here at this club, because we're in the basement of the Rhode Island Comedy Connection. Thank you very much for letting us use the studio. And I mean, the comics are all sitting around off camera. You can't even see them. Bill Burr is making faces.
Yeah.
William, please. And
Bill Cosby's winking. I'm not sure which one of us.
Oh no, that's the droop from that stroke.
It's Wilfred.
Mr. Cosby.
Not William.
I know. I say that's my.
It's like a personal thing.
Yeah, it's just a friend.
It's an inside joke. Yeah. I get it.
It would be weird if somebody else.
Yeah, Philium.
What?
That's for Phil.
At this club, there was karaoke, right? And it would happen after a show,
right?
And so we would just sort of hang around. Just to watch some of the bad karaoke, which is full on. You're on a stage with a mic. And this was like early days of stand-up work to me, where I think the comics all had the vibe of like, look at these people pretending with the microphone.
Yeah.
You know, it was silly. But seeing, it seared into my mind, a tiny blonde white girl singing Notorious B.I.G. songs with all of the lyrics.
All of them.
All the lyrics.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
And
year was this?
It was like weekly that this was going on.
Yikes.
What year?
2011, 12.
Okay, yeah. That's kind of cool.
Not when you can do that, right?
Yeah.
It's like, that's terrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a really bad thing. And just watching that happen, and I think songs give some people an excuse to be like, I'm just doing the
lyrics
of the song. Yeah. You know, I did a sketch early days of stand up. I did a sketch with a comedian that I was good friends with, who unfortunately passed away. But this gentleman was black, and we had a sketch where we're in the car and listening to Biggie, and we're both doing the lyrics, and then it comes up.
Yeah.
And as soon as it comes up, he goes from like smiling and stuff to just whips and looks at me and waits to see what I'm going to do.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
And I'm like, and I just flip the song over to like an incredibly white song. I think it was like Cotton Eye Joe or something. And it was a fun bit.
That is a fun bit.
Yeah, that was watching people say all the lyrics to certain songs is like, whoo, I don't think you can do that anymore. I think some Eminem songs are off the table now.
Well, yeah. I hear what you're saying. I got a topping story about ridiculousness.
Pepperoni, mushrooms, what are we talking?
At a karaoke thing. Yeah. Brad knows about
it. I know. But before we get to this, you talk about a funny song, like a song that's funny for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
My friend Brian did Christmas Shoes.
Oh, man.
And it was
funny for 30 seconds.
It was funny the whole time.
Really?
Oh. He sold it.
He had showmanship.
He sold it with his passion for the song.
Oh, I like it.
One of the few, like, ironic karaoke songs that was fantastic throughout, because and part of it is the context is that there's 50 drunk people around, we're at a party, whatever.
See, that's different.
Yeah,
that is different.
Yeah,
I also think
it was definitely like people who knew him.
Yeah
Also people who have really good comedic skills, like, you know, you're telling me that like Bill Hader could kill a song that normal people would be like, oh, I just don't know this part.
Yeah.
And he could make all that funny.
Yeah,
I think that's part of it.
But I don't think the audience at a regular karaoke place that's like taking karaoke really seriously, they don't like that. Like, you know what people didn't like for me? You know what wasn't funny for 30 seconds? Because everyone was mad right away, except for Brian Bowden, who laughed the whole way through.
Well, that's what he does.
Yeah, we did a show that was like, the comedy happened. This was years and years and years ago. We did the show. comedy happens, and then it rolls immediately into karaoke, right? Right,
yeah.
Like the host of the thing was like, here's everybody. All right, great. Sounds good. Karaoke, right? And it just starts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody's like, you got to do it. You got to do it. Brian did, I think, Purple Rain. He always does Purple Rain.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to be funny. And I was like, let me do, I can't remember the name of the song, but it's You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman.
Yeah.
Right? From the...
Good song.
Was it from Jeans?
Yeah.
The commercial as a child? Jordache
or Calvin Klein's.
That's probably how we know about it. Yeah.
So I was like, this will be funny.
Yeah.
A, I don't know shit about the verses.
Yeah, yeah.
I really don't. All I know is the, you make me feel...
It'd be perfect for bite-sized karaoke.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. And it's like, high, and I can't get there. Mm-hmm. And look, oh boy, 6-7 big guys saying, you make me feel like a natural woman.
Yeah.
Woman. Right? Yeah. In the back. These were karaoke people. Mm,
yeah.
These were people that are like, this is what I do.
Yeah.
On Thursdays and Saturdays.
Yeah.
I heard people talking like, oh, we go to this karaoke thing on this day, then we go to this karaoke thing. And like these are like semi-pro kind of people.
Yeah.
And they hated that I made a mockery of their karaoke.
Yeah.
See, it's weird how you just talked about like I'm on a stage, so it's not a novelty to me.
Yeah.
When I do karaoke, because I have been in a punk band for like 15 years, people are like, oh, you're going to do Green Day, Blink-182, blah, blah. And I'm like,
no.
I'm like, no, I don't want to do the stuff that is like what I actually do.
Yeah.
I want to do something that's a theatrical, different, like arm's length thing.
Yeah.
So talking about arms, we knew a guy. I might have told you this before, but I really...
Did he have arms?
I'm bringing this back. Well, he would go to karaoke, and I want to use this in a comedy... For a trait for a villain.
Yes. Okay.
I didn't love this guy. Maybe he didn't treat Brad with so much respect afterwards.
Nope.
And he was a guy on Brad's improv team.
Okay.
And
already a villain.
We'll call him Terry.
Sure.
And he would go to karaoke.
He called it karaoke.
He was an expert, and you're gonna know where this is going, at playing harmonica. So he would bring a sleeve, talking about arms, of all different harmonicas and different keys.
No.
And he'd be like, Hotel California. And he would just like,
no.
He would just play, he would play his harmonica.
You're abusing the karaoke system.
He's doing it at karaoke and just playing harmonica.
No, go to an open mic, you fool.
And I'm like, this is a villain trait for sure.
Yeah.
Kind of like Bill Murray and like Kingpin. Like it's kind of show-offy, like shitty.
That's like bringing an acoustic guitar to karaoke
it's...
and then not even having the song play and just being like, I'm going to sing three covers. That's what I'm doing.
It was, I tried to be more understanding, but as time has passed, I've seen that more and more as a villain trait.
Yeah.
He put the harm... In harmonica.
They had like thousands of dollars in a bank account that this guy had for their improv group.
His wife's name was Monica. It was really weird.
Yeah. And one day they're like, where's our thousands of dollars? He's like, I don't know. The bank took it.
Wow. Anyway, check out my silver harmonicas.
Look at this. Gold plated C minor.
It was,
there we go.
Why'd you get a C minor?
Whatever.
You can't get a C minor. C flat, I guess.
Whatever Chipmunk Christmas special with the golden harmonica was.
Yeah.
quick update on the community center. We do, I think, legally have to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's unfortunate. So we received I guess the closest thing would be like a cease and desist.
Yeah.
From the town. They have told us that the town council took a vote. They are no longer considering this community center a center.
Right.
They don't want to call it a center of the community
or
for the community. No. They're trying to remove community.
Yeah.
Right.
And just get it down to abandoned building.
Yeah.
We are, of course, fighting this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see you in court and I'll drag you to hell.
Right.
I told the comptroller that.
It was also in your wedding vows.
Yeah.
We'll see you in court with our lawyer genius Esquire.
Yeah. Don't look too closely at a lot of the memos that have been coming from our lawyer.
Yeah.
Some would say we are writing them. That's not true.
They are full of legal language.
Right. Yeah. And also, Just this is a nitpick that I have with the comptroller when he came by. Let me be frank here. Look, we'll have our litigation about the community center and if it's a community-based building or if it's a center at all.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Right.
But what you can't do is just because you have a problem with our community center is claim we can't have a parking kind of business going on in our large parking lot.
Right.
Not a lot of people are coming to use the community center. Mm-mm. Most of the kids have not been, have not renewed their memberships.
Right.
Fine. We'll get them back. Yep. We'll come back even stronger.
Yeah.
But we can still charge for parking for large events. That's it.
I hear you.
That's all I want to say. I'll see you in court and I'll drag you to hell.
I want to keep this civil, but I will see you in court and drag you to hell.
I like how saying it calmly.
I think I'll see you in court and I'll drag you to hell as like a lawyer phrase. Like one of those things.
Essentially, I mean, I'll see you in hell, right? I'll drag you to court.
That's the devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Chuck Staton.
Great show.
And it's me and I have the tie and the two little, you know, the horns, and it says Chuck Staton, the lawyer. See you in court and I'll drag hell.
It's great.
The devil's advocate.
Yeah. It comes on right after Law and Order because you often represent whoever did the killing in Law and Order. Oh man, that's fun. So we did the community center thing. Great. We talked about karaoke, which we were talk about karaoke.
Real quick, can we talk about lawyer billboards for 1 second?
Yeah, of course.
I love lawyer billboards.
Me too. I have to drive between New York and Rhode Island, so I see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And have you noticed that they all fight on the billboards?
Sure. Yeah.
First of all,
they fight for you.
Yeah. I think a long time ago, there were probably some like, okay, this makes sense as a little nickname, whatever.
Yeah.
But then it gets crazy. Like there's one, I don't know where it is, probably in Connecticut, and it's Bring On Bert. And the guy's name is Bert something. And like, I always thought Bring On Bert.
Bert's going to get you.
It's such a fucking reach. But then there's another one right afterwards, and it's like, we're the cool lawyers who don't need a cool phrase. Like, it says that on the billboard.
Yeah, of course.
I'm like, this is fucking hilarious. And then, of course, there's the heavy hitter in Rhode Island. Which
In
is,
Pain, Call Wayne is also another one.
He loves In Pain.
I'll say one of the biggest laughs I've gotten in my nascent stand-up career was, it was a bit about billboards. And I said, just no matter how many times I've been in pain, I have never once called Wayne, and the Rhode Island audience was they're throwing streamers on stage. Miss Rhode Island is making out with me. I mean, it was a great reception. Only works here.
Yeah,
not a joke you can take on the road.
Brad is a Encyclopedia Brown. He notices things. Sometimes I have an anti Encyclopedia Brown thing where I don't notice things for a long
real
time.
Bugs Meany over here.
Bugs Meany?
Yeah, that's a character from Encyclopedia Brown. It was the bully. I know. I knew that was a reference that you weren't going to get.
Meany.
Bugs Meany.
Guess what? I fucking hate him.
Yeah. You know why? He's mean.
Yeah.
If you have another kid, you got to name him Bugs.
No, we're going to do Mugs Beanie to avoid
litigation.
Oh, that's fine. Mugs Beanie.
You know what? How come the name Bugs went away? That's what I want.
That damn rabbit.
You know, let's bring it back.
Yeah. Bugs.
I'll say this.
Bugs Harrington.
Brian Bowden just rebranded his podcast from the Wicked Funny Podcast to the Stoner Dad Podcast. What if Brian Bowden rebrands Brian Bowden Bugs Bowden?
Ooh.
I'm in. It makes me think about bugs, though.
Yeah, it does. roaches and shit.
But I mean, look at it.
Brad's views do not represent the views of Fun Bearable and its constituents.
I
love Brian Bowden.
I think if Brian Bowden was torn in half, it would be a real oogie boogie situation where it would just be centipedes.
Everybody knows if you cut Brian Bowden in half, he grows to Brian Bowden.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Everybody knows that.
So when I was younger and I didn't notice things a lot, there's the heavy hitter billboards everywhere, right? Which is a lawyer around Rhode Island. It says, heavy hitter is the one for you. Call 999-3212. You know, whatever it is. And when I was a kid, not a joke, truth, I read those quick all the time, and until I saw the commercial, I thought he was advertising himself as Heavy Hitler. Like, he's like Hitler, but he's kind of chubby.
Yeah.
Like, Heavy Hitler is the one for you.
Heavy Hitler.
I'm like, why would...
That's my wheelhouse.
Now, with my brain of a man, I can think...
Jesus Christ.
I can see how a person would not want to be associated with Hitler.
A lot of people do say you have the brain of a man, but they don't say it the way you think they mean it. You know what I mean?
But when I had the brain of a boy.
Oh, that old quote.
When did you decide that being associated with Hitler was a non-desirable...
I had the brain of a boy. I was like, oh, he's just using a historical figure to be like, what do I look like?
Yeah.
It's not a, and it's not
a doesn't course, look his, like it.
His natural enemy his natural enemy is wispy Hitler.
Yes. I didn't...
Tiny Stalin.
You're right that he doesn't look like him, and that's why I was confused.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
If it was... I thought it was like heavy Hitler in the same way that you could be like... I'm a lanky Lincoln, and a guy looks like Abe Lincoln.
I mean, Lincoln was famously lanky.
Are we coming up with? Are we coming up with
little,
like?
All right, little Lincoln.
There we go.
Like bad guys in a NES system fighting game.
I think we're in a Dick Tracy
lanky
comic
Lincoln
strip.
Lincoln and heavy Hitler.
Yeah. Big Bugs Meany sounds like he's in a Dick Tracy comic strip.
Oh, for sure.
Lanky Lincoln, heavy Hitler. I just thought he was like, I look like this guy. Let's just go with that.
There's a guy who's a lawman in Rhode Island with a billboard. I have taken pictures of it. I have posted these pictures. It's one of those jokes that is endlessly delightful for me, which I don't think a lot of people enjoy, which it drives me insane. This lawyer often will pose in his with his dog. He has this little like mini poodle that he holds in the picture on the billboard.
Yep.
And it's him with the dog, and it says, you know, you need a lawyer, and then the phone number, right?
Yeah.
And every time I see that, since Finn was like a little boy,
when he had the brain of a boy,
when he had a boy brain, I always look at it and go, oh my God, that dog's a lawyer, right? And that's always funny to me.
Yeah.
I love the idea that the guy is just the handler for the lawyer dog.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for lawyer dog. That's good.
If you need representation, call lawyer dog.
It's Air Bud, but by Dick Wolf.
Yeah, and I love it because...
That's good.
Because I even went into a whole thing with Finn where I'm like, he's a lawyer dog, not a dog lawyer.
Oh,
those are different things.
He does not represent dogs.
He doesn't represent dogs. He's a lawyer dog, not a dog lawyer.
That makes sense.
And I love that idea. And the fact that this
Finn's
guy...
like, I just want to go home, Dad.
And I'm like, just take the picture.
Yeah.
So... I love those billboards. They still pop up sometimes.
Yep.
And it is always endlessly entertaining to me, the idea that the dog is the lawyer.
You know what's funny?
It's just fun.
I agree.
Yeah.
The idea of he's a dog lawyer. He's a lawyer dog, not a dog lawyer. And the idea of someone coming into his office and being like, so I have this problem, my vet, and he throws everything off the table because he's not a dog lawyer.
Right, right. Yeah, I will not represent your...
canine case?
Pomeranian.
Yeah, right.
Your Pomeranian will not receive representation. Now, if you want to sue the Pomeranian, I can talk about that.
Do you think that there's an Instagram that is all the lawyer billboards?
Like, probably.
That's fun.
I think there's an Instagram for everything.
I would love to see a lawyer billboard Instagram.
That would be fun.
Right? Yeah, I think that's... when I see them, I giggle. Yeah. I think they're funny.
Speaking of dogs, this is a good transition.
Oh, good.
I had a thought the other day. I did a show, Don't Tell comedy show in Boston, in the Boston Harbor on a boat. That was fun.
Yep.
It was extremely hot. No AC on the boat.
What about the sea breeze?
There was no sea breeze. It was very hot. It was.
I thought it's colder by the ocean.
This is the Boston Harbor.
What about the harbor breeze?
Nope.
Oh,
they went out of publication. They're out of print. The Boston breeze.
The death of print
the
media.
The harbor breeze. Oh, they turned into one of those Turtle Boy websites.
No. One of my exes was really exposed on that.
I fucking hate it. So you know,
it's true.
It's a regional thing. Some guy started a blog. Some piece of crap. And it was like Worcester, Massachusetts. And it was just like TMZ for local people. And it's the worst idea in the world.
They did a crazy one about a girl I dated.
See, that's what I mean.
It was a crazy article. I mean,
you were used as evidence. Like, look how low she is.
No, it was like, it was bad news. But I don't know what side I fall on even.
Yeah.
We're uninformed.
It's just bad. It's a bad idea. That whole website is a terrible idea. Let's feed the worst things about everything in our area.
I don't like TMZ in general,
mm-hmm.
but I will say the smaller it gets, the more interested I am. Like, if there was one about Brad's family,
yeah,
I would read that.
Right. But I would say it's a bad idea for that to exist.
Probably wouldn't come for out Brad. That sure. often.
Listen,
it's not that much going on.
Heroin feels great. You know what I mean? It's like, you shouldn't do it.
That's another Instagram I'd like to see.
Oh, listen, listen, heroin is not good. Don't do it. But it,
wait, all those things. Why are you winking with your off-camera eye?
That's true. That's a good point.
That's what I mean. Like, it's a bad thing.
It's a bad
opiate for the masses is a phrase for a reason, right? Like, I think most online shit is like, hey, this is going to kill us all. Yes. Maybe don't do it.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was doing the Don't Tell show, speaking of dorgs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Pups, puppers,
yeah.
right? Woofs and whatnot. Yeah. So I'm doing the show, and it's Don't Tell Boston brings in a crowd of like young, childless, moneyed people, right? But like fun people.
They're not, so they're the not opposite. Scummies.
That's like me.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Fun, childless, young, moneyed.
It's weird. You tick all the boxes, but you don't fit into the category.
Yeah, because I wouldn't wear a white polo.
Maybe it's that. No, not really. No, this is like a group of people where like they work in Boston.
They're more like professionals.
Yeah, they work in.
They're not. They want to go see the creative, not be the creative.
Right, and they work there and have money that way. Right? Does that make sense? So I met this guy. A good example. He's a bioinformatician.
Okay.
Infama. I know a bio.
There's that boy brain.
You know, bio.
That means he is. Infamous for his bioticians.
I know what bio means, and I know what titian means.
Uh-huh.
Titian means you work at the morgue. Bio means it's the world.
Info is data.
yeah. Infama.
Matician, like mathematician.
Massachusetts.
Bioinformatician.
Sure. We got there.
Okay.
We got there.
What does he do?
Fun.
What does he do for this?
I don't fucking know.
You're just as lost as me.
No, I made jokes about that. I'm that's weird. I've never met a bioinformatician. I've met a bioinformagician.
Yeah.
He sucked.
Yeah. Right?
Like stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it was dumb. Anyway, I was talking to him and I he had an accent and I said, where, no. I was like, where are you from? You know, you live in Boston now. He's like, oh, I'm not from Boston. I said, where are you from? And he said, guess. And I was like, well, that's a nightmare in 2023 to say to a straight white man, guess where I'm from.
Right.
Terrifying. And I made a quick joke about, because obviously his name was Ludwig.
Mm.
He had a German accent.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to go on context clues. I'm going to say, pause for effect, Austria.
Ooh.
Right? Thought that was funny.
Yep.
And he said, no, Germany.
Ah.
So I made a big show of turning my back to the audience, slapping my hand on the frame of the window that was behind me, looking out the window to the ocean, knowing that the light for the stage was reflecting my reflection, right?
Yeah.
So it was perfect theatrics.
Yes.
And I was just like, oh, damn. Tried to sound smart and went with the other Germany. Right? Like that kind of thing. It was fun. It was fun. Right. Low-hanging fruit.
Yes. I like it.
Yeah. You got to go with the thinking man's Germany.
Yeah. That's
Austria,
fun.
Home of the worst person.
Yes.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I had a thought, though, because I had initially started with, you know, Ludwig. Any relation to the only other Ludwig
Beethoven.
I know?
Played
piano.
Yeah.
Beethoven. Also was a big dog. This was my thought. This is weird. I don't know. I think it only belongs on the podcast because I don't know where else it lives. I'm sorry. Here's my theory. I think if Ludwig von Beethoven came back to life in the mid-90s, he gets Bill and Ted-ed to the mid-90s.
Right.
I think he walks around for a minute and goes, oh, wow, they love me here.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about Beethoven. Wow.
Uh-oh.
And then he sees the movie poster.
Yep.
For the big drooly dog named Beethoven. And I really do think that Ludwig von Beethoven would be like hurt. I think he would be like, why did they do this to me? You couldn't name the dog Mozart, right?
Yeah. Well, then he goes to a Blockbuster video. He sees Amadeus. He's like, this is another silly dog movie.
And, he
goes, he's like, oh, this was beautiful.
Yeah. This made me cry.
Yeah.
That's, I will say,
F. Murray Abraham is transformative in this role.
Can I say I do miss one thing? I do miss about the 90s.
Yeah.
Is the idea that a movie like Beethoven could sweep the nation? Don't you think that couldn't
That's
happen?
That's amazing. Now? No, it can't happen now. Are you kidding me?
Why is that?
Because we are no longer like one big pool of pop culture.
Right.
We are a million little puddles, and so it can take over a puddle, and sometimes something gets so big in that puddle, it can spread, but only in a, look at that kind of way.
Interesting.
It can't take it over.
Like, I wonder about, like, Babe, because Babe was big.
Yeah.
Air Bud, Brad mentioned earlier. Air Bud's big.
All the animals.
All this stuff seems so thin as a concept, is what I'm kind of saying. And it's, I mean, even, at least Air Bud plays basketball, and at least Babe speaks and has a thing. But isn't Beethoven just a regular dog who's kind of...
He's just a big dog.
Is he even mischievous, or is he just like...
I think there's misunderstandings, right?
I think he's like lightly mischievous, but a good boy.
Right.
Isn't he basically just Marmaduke?
Yes.
I think he is.
Yeah.
Except a St. Bernard.
Which is like not, a great day. Not Clifford. Like, Clifford is...
That dog is too big.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
Can we be honest? Clifford should have been put down for the safety of everyone. Like, that's just... Yeah, you cannot have a dog that big.
You know,
I'll be the shitty neighbor in the movie or the cartoon and going, he's a danger to everyone.
If we make Clifford 2023, like if we get tasked with writing and directing it, could happen.
First of all, we're not crossing that picket line.
No, I'm not scabbing for Clifford.
So anyway...
but let's say it's all been lifted.
Right.
Yeah, this is in the future.
Or this is an independent production.
Ooh,
that can happen too.
We get the pass.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Smith's working on a movie right now in New Jersey. He has the pass. So Clifford, like it's such a problem. It's so bad to have this big dog. Where is he peeing?
Right.
Like that's one question.
The poops alone.
That is one big pile of shit.
How many fleas are on him? And ticks.
Sure.
What happens to the deer population?
What happens when that goddamn dog has a goddamn red rocket.
And here,
that thing will kill.
You know what would be so funny?
I'm sorry to typecast.
I'm sorry. I'm taking you out of the role. The role has been given to Brad.
For what?
For what?
The guy in the town who speaks out against Clifford.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Typecasting. Yeah, for sure.
Brad, he's at every town meeting.
I was hoping I'd get the role of Emily Elizabeth. Because I referenced it incorrectly in an improv scene 3 months ago.
And
it was corrected.
Scolded you.
No, gently
scolded
corrected
you.
Me.
Sorry, they threw boiling water.
That's a lesson. That sets it.
That was great.
You're gonna
really keep me laughing.
Yeah, we are good at yes anding, right?
I've got a boy brain.
You're good at like, all right, I'll take a break talking about my thing.
Yes, and all the time. Yeah,
and all right, now back to my thing.
No,
I'm kidding.
But
I like how you're like, I yes, and all the time. No. That's what you just said.
But the Clifford thing.
No, you can play the neighbor who's like, this is a menace. And like, I picture you looking over the fence and going, the blood will be on your hands, little girl, right? And I will play the veterinarian tasked with neutering Clifford.
Yep.
Right? Where they've given me this job and I'm just sweating and just like, I mean, if we knock him out.
Does anyone have a swimming pool that has no water in it?
Yeah.
I mean, he started as a puppy, as a little puppy. So you got to get him
quick.
Right then.
Yeah. I love baby Clifford. He's adorable. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But here's what's funny. I just want to fast forward to the post-credit scene of Clifford. So we have our whole movie. Brad's the villain, but he's ultimately right. But like,
he's the hero.
Clifford's like pissing on his house.
Yeah.
All that stuff's happening. Super ticks take over the town.
Got a red rocket coming down the chimney.
The final thing in the movie is Brad investing in a teacup poodle.
I think what he's trying to say is a teacup poodle breeding business. Did I get it? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Poor Jack.
He's lost. He's gone.
He's yes anding himself to infinity. Yeah.
This is him yes anding.
You have a teacup. Yeah, fuck it.
I got to be honest with you. There's got to be something hilarious you haven't been able to say.
Well,
we know
what it's gonna what's gonna happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Clifford's gonna fuck.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah.
It's murder is what that is. You know those old...
purebred poodles.
My sweet little virgins, as I call them. I love them because they're virgins. They're completely intact. Their eyes are still in their sockets.
I'm gonna die. That is so funny.
Their eyebrows haven't raised so far that they fell off.
Just to finish, he would say all that. He would say all the stuff that you just said. Yeah. He's like, we're going to keep the bloodline pure or whatever. And then he's like, all right, I'll be right back.
I'm a poodle Nazi.
Oh, no.
I'm a poodle
He's
Hitler.
Heavy Hitler.
And he walks away, and the little Mexican poodle looks at
and just CGI, the jaw drops like...
Clifford is looking at her, and he like gives her like the eyebrows, and she's like this, and it ends with the little heart thing, and then Clifford too.
The heart
funeral for Brett.
The heart happens, right? It goes to the heart, and then hard cut, smash cut, sirens, lights, and children covered in blood, going. I just cry.
Oh, that's so.
Because you know here's what I was trying to say. You know the old toy that was a squeeze toy,
and
the head and the ears, they would all pop out.
Yeah,
that teacup poodle. That's what's gonna happen to that poodle. It's gonna go boing, right? It's gonna murder him.
What's the name of the poodle?
Mitzi.
Yeah, I was gonna say Chuck, but sure.
Mitzi. Yeah. This is so fun. But yeah, I think Beethoven, my point was, Beethoven would be so pissed at that movie. He would be very upset about it.
Yeah.
And it was just a joyful thing. And we started talking about it. And you're right. The movie, Beethoven, is so thin. Like they just,
that's what I mean.
It's Gordon. Yes. What's his name?
Charles
Grodin. Yeah. I think he plays Gordon in the. But Charles Grodin is in that. And he's like, oh, I can't deal with this. This dog is driving me crazy. That's my Charles Grodin impression.
Yeah,
great.
And he just can't handle it. Damn, with this dog, right? That's the whole deal. And it is funny that it's like, I guess everyone's going to see this movie now.
Yep.
Here's what's funny.
I mean. Yeah.
Grodin was in a movie I love.
I know what you're going to say.
That is basically the same plot.
I know what you're going to say. And this is in my brain right now.
And it's connected with what we were just talking about, the big red dog. This movie was called Clifford, and it wasn't about a big red dog.
Do you know about this?
It was about Martin Short playing a child. You've never seen Clifford.
This is a weird movie.
No one talks about it.
It's bizarre.
It's tickling the back of my brain right now. I know I've never seen it, but I am vaguely familiar with it.
So Clifford, I saw it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
On VHS.
Yeah.
Loved the fucking movie.
Yeah.
And as an adult, I remember scenes and I'm like, it's too funny. Martin Short is killer in
it. He's so good in it.
So good. And so Finn, like during quarantine back then, I was like, you got to see Clifford.
You're like, right? We got to go through the entire Charles Grodin catalog.
Yeah. Oh, he's a huge Grodin head.
Yeah.
He loves Grodin.
Can't get enough Grodin.
He's a Grode chode for sure. That's the.
I know.
That's the website.
Yeah. They wept.
Yeah.
They wept when he passed. They said, we love how he was mean.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yes. We loved how he was mean.
We loved how he yelled at us to leave him alone all the time.
Yeah.
So Clifford is amazing. It's a movie that would never happen now.
Yep.
Like, you know those like shitty anti-woke people that are just like, you can't make Blazing Saddles today.
Right.
It's like, well, I know, because it was making a point then.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah.
But I'll be one of those guys and go, you can't make Clifford today.
But it's because of how thin the plot is.
And it's so bizarre.
Exactly.
It's truly bizarre.
Yeah.
That movie, Charles Grodin plays a bachelor who is now falling for this woman. He's going to propose.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking it seriously. His nephew.
Honey, I'll see you in court and I'll drag you to hell.
Yeah.
That's the romantic music at the end. So his nephew gets pawned off on him.
Yes.
The parents are already like clearly like, I can't take this kid.
Yeah.
He's like a 12-year-old and he has a little toy dinosaur that he loves. And he's played by Martin Short.
Mm. Martin Short as an adult. He's a fully grown adult, but he just plays
this
child.
Okay.
And it's amazing.
It is.
There's a scene that is one of my favorite comedy scenes in a movie, in that movie, where Grodin is finally losing and he's like, shut up, stop, don't be, you are going to be a normal little boy. I'm sick of this, right? Like, this is like halfway through the movie where he's been doing all the bullshit.
Yep.
And it's the same thing as Beethoven. Right, like, oh boy, this thing is driving me crazy.
I've got dinner with the boss, like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What I love about it, though, is this scene in particular. Grodin being so real in that moment. It's the most genuine version of Grodin I've ever seen. And he's just like, stop. Stop being a weird little boy. Be normal.
Yeah.
Don't even look at me weird. And Martin Short's like, what are you talking about? What are you? Well, Uncle Charles Grodin, what do you mean? And he goes, just be normal. Don't give me that look. And Martin Short just goes like,
Yeah.
It's, and does this amazing physicality that, you know, for our listener non-watchers, this is completely lost on them. But he does a thing where he is able to, without crossing his eyes, make it clear that he is completely defocused what's in front of him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like they're just dead.
Yeah.
And it's a great scene. And I love that movie. It's so fucking weird.
It is.
Let's have adult Martin Short play troublemaker Dennis the Menace kid, right? It's great. And this is pre-problem child.
I think that this kind of hits on what I was just talking about, where it seems like back then you could be like, here's a one-sentence concept, fun and games.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. I mean, Tommy Boy is one-sentence concept, fun and games.
But at least with movies like that, like Tommy Boy, that's just a vehicle. That's a Chris Farley vehicle, right? like the early Adam Sandler movies, they're vehicles.
Yeah.
Clifford is not a Martin Short vehicle. It's not a Charles Grodin vehicle. It's a movie that is, like, it feels like it went based on its plot or whatever. But it's bizarre. The reason I don't think it would happen today is it's just too weird to sell to someone.
I think so,
you know?
Too. I it's funny because I don't have a lot of, like I was so young when that movie came out. I might have been 6 or 5.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a great picture of like society and entertainment at that time. Like I don't know how big Martin Short is at that time, Charles Grodin. Beethoven for sure is not a vehicle. It's possible Clifford was a vehicle for Martin Short, though. It might have been like, let's get him a thing.
Yeah, it is possible. I don't know. Because, I mean, he did have a run.
The Three Amigos.
Oh, the Amigos. That's just a fucking great movie, right? That's just fantastic.
But that is probably a vehicle. That's a vehicle. For sure.
Yeah. But he did have a run of movies where, there was that period of time. It's that 90s thing where there were all these people kind of make... Well, you know what we're talking about? We're talking about the thing I'm always banging the drum about, which is low to mid-level.
Yeah, I know. Studios saying,
comedy
let's give
studios.
This a shot.
Yeah, it's just comedy movies, like low to mid-budget comedy movies that don't exist anymore.
Yeah. I know.
Because I'm thinking about all those movies. There was the one he did with, and again, it's just another concept comedy.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's just like, here's the thin proposal. It was him and Danny Glover.
Yeah.
And I think it's called like Pure Luck or Just My Luck or something.
That one also tickles my brain. Yeah.
Where a woman goes missing, like the daughter of a wealthy guy goes missing, and she's like notoriously bad luck.
Yeah.
She's like the most unlucky person in the world. And Donald Glover is, Danny Glover, sorry, is tasked with finding her.
Mm-hmm.
And so uses Martin Short because his thing is he has the world's worst luck.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'll just follow him. And that was the whole movie. That's the whole movie. There's a scene with him. The only thing I really remember is he's allergic to bees. And then you see one like land on his nose. And of course we go to Danny Glover. He's talking. He's like, are you okay? And he turns and looks and Martin Short is fully expanded
just
completely puffed out. And he's like, I'm fine. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's crazy. Also, I want to say this. I don't know when this episode drops. There's been some dialogue about Mr. Short lately.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because an article came out that was horribly, like, whoever decided, like, I'm going to put pen to paper and do this.
Yeah. So I saw this come up, but I didn't actually see the article. All I saw was people responding to it. What did the article say?
The article was essentially like a tongue-in-cheek, basically saying, like, Martin Short's annoying and we put up with his comedy. And that's basically it.
Right.
And it was the dumbest take I've heard. Yeah. It really is. What I think is ironic is the idea that Martin Short has had this career and is coming into a new phase.
Yeah. Right.
Where he's seen as like an elder statesman of comedy.
Right. Yes.
Because he's incredibly funny and super quick.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
yeah.
like razor sharp.
Yes.
And that part, the bite that I think he's letting show now is so much fun.
Yeah.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Like he can shred people and it's delightful.
Martin Short is like, he's one of those people. I don't want to say he transcends comedy, but it's almost like there's certain people like Steve Martin as well that kind of, and Nathan Lane, that go into like a theatrical version of comedy.
Yeah.
It feels
yeah.
a little bit more presentational, but it can only come from people who are kind of masters of that craft.
Right. Me, yeah. I mean? No, I think it's incredible that Martin Short was able to cultivate a career that was Pee Wee Herman-ish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of guy, this big old school, ha, razzmatazz comedy, mm-hmm. and have that continue on through his career to get to this point where he's a little drier. He's yeah. a little more pulled back and has yeah. more cutting comedy.
For sure.
That's super funny and is the man that created Jiminy Glick.
I know. Yeah. Jiminy Glick is awesome.
Watch any interview of Martin Short as Jiminy Glick and tell me he's not incredibly funny.
Confession. I didn't get Jiminy Glick.
Yeah, but you watched it probably when you were too young.
I was too young. Yeah. I didn't get it. No idea.
I was about to say, like, I think that today's world of comedy is more ready for Jiminy Glick.
It is.
Than the world that existed.
Agreed. 100%. Yeah, if Jiminy Glick came back now, the downside is the fat suit. I think that he did go to that a lot, the joke of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think now it would be a little bit of an issue. Yeah. But if you just put him in something, if you have him in the suit but not rely on like fat jokes, I think it's fine because that's what Jiminy Glick is. It's the same as Peter Serafinowicz doing Butterfield.
Right.
You know, there's it that doesn't feel like it's the joke.
Right.
I think with Martin Short doing that often, it was like him stuffing his face.
I was going to say, I think that like, you know, whatever percentage, let's say 20% of it was him in the fat suit.
Yeah.
And like, I do think, if you're going to come up with like, I'm a famous comedian and I want to have a character, I do think altering your presence and your look makes a lot of sense.
Especially if you're interviewing people that you know.
Exactly.
It's really helpful. And that voice is incredible.
It's that.
It kills me. It's so funny.
It's a little Between Two Ferns-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only like a topper because I love Jiminy Glick and I've watched so many like super cuts on YouTube.
Yeah.
His ability to, like, whenever an interview is, like, turning and the interviewee, is starting to, like, go at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so great at turning it.
Yeah. There was one hilarious. With
Larry David.
Yes.
And Larry David is like, just stop. You know, he's saying something to him. And I love that he just turns around, Martin Short as Jiminy Glick, and he's like, there's that famous Larry David anger that we always hear about. You know, when you watch the show and you wonder, where does that Larry David stop? Where does this one begin? Where does this Larry David stop? And I wonder, when do we get to the stop? Like, it's just so great. Like, the turn there.
Yeah.
He had so many
Larry
questions.
David, like, can't contain himself.
He loses it.
Like, which is, you don't see that from him that much.
No.
Like, there's a couple things.
He can make people fall apart. Like, people can't come back.
That's amazing.
And it's great. Watching him with Larry David is great. Seinfeld, him going after Seinfeld is great because Seinfeld gets very combative.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that Martin Short could just continue to play with it, and he's like, do something about this mug.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And then some of the lines are spectacular. Talking to Spielberg and being like, you've done a lot of movies, but when are you going to do the big one?
Yeah.
Talking to Mel Brooks. Now, what's your bone that you're picking with the Nazis? Why are you always going after
You're good
them?
At that voice.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's a little old to do that.
The voice?
No, just in general. Jiminy Glick. Could you take over?
I wouldn't be in a fat suit.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Martin, get at me.
Because that's a great voice. Your voice is spot on.
I love it. And I think that's part of the comedy is his voice as Jiminy Glick. I would love to do a Jiminy Glick. Are you kidding me?
It's so funny. Like this is a different conversation, but
is this my audition? What's happening?
I love when someone figures out a new comedy voice.
Oh yeah.
Like, Homer Simpson's voice is so fucking awesome. Cartman's voice is so fucking awesome. Jiminy Glick.
You sound like you're tailgating right
now. No, I'm doing the Chris Farley show.
yeah.
But it is.
Remember when you did the voice of the
It's weird because like I think that comedy, people kind of fall into like, this is the world I play in. This is the type of comedy I do. Yeah. But coming up with a new distinct comedy voice for a character is so difficult.
Sure. Yeah.
We're talking about how many are there? You know what I mean? It's very, very specific.
Yeah. No, I love Martin Short. He deserves to be recognized as one of, like I said, the elder statesmen of comedy. Like, I really believe that. Yeah.
I believe that too. Can I bring up one thing about this that's tying into all these, like, Problem Child, Clifford, all this stuff? I do think, like, we were talking about the other day on the podcast, you brought up Barbie, mm-hmm. and I brought up Talk to Me, the horror movie.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the idea of, like, not every movie has to be the world-ending movie,
right.
yeah,
and
yeah.
the showstopper, and hit all four quadrants. And I think in the 90s, there really was more, in the 80s,
yeah.
there was more of a, well, let's make a comedy that costs $15 million,
mm-hmm.
and if we make $30 million opening weekend,
we're set.
We're so successful.
Yeah.
And so we got more of stuff like Clifford, or whatever, that's not like, we're trying to be the next Hangover. We're trying to be the next huge thing. And now the studios are like, well, we're not really interested in trying to do that. We just want to gamble on huge things and lose $250 million when they fail.
What bums me out now is, like, often if there is a mid-budget comedy,
mm-hmm.
it is a direct-to-streamer.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
It's just not fully baked.
That's what boggles my mind is, like, there was plenty of stuff going on, and there are still plenty of really good comedy things that can exist.
Yeah, there's more than ever.
Why
I think.
Is this happening? Speaking of that, I want to pivot just a little bit.
Sure.
Just to throw this out really quickly.
I know this episode's crazy, but I really like all this.
No, it's all good stuff. Yeah. And again, we've done the thing where we haven't talked about a single thing we planned, but it's all fun.
This is interesting. I think this is fun.
If you don't like this, then, like, fuck you. We didn't even mean to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I think I was just talking to my dad. That was weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Your dad's a noted fun bear.
He's a nun bear.
Yeah. He doesn't like any of us.
Yeah. That's He said, if it's a choice between a sun bear and a fun bear, I guess I'll be a fun bear. I thought of another song to do for karaoke.
Does it involve
cats in the cradle and the silver spoon?
Yeah, yeah.
Little boy. Yeah, I wanted to say
I
this.
I don't think that song applies to you, right?
You don't think so?
I don't think it applies to you because I think you're there for your boy.
Right, right. But the fear is there.
Yeah,
the fear of that is always there. Right? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Hey, and if you aren't, we will be.
Oh, that's worse.
Yes.
That's worse.
Brad will be the
Oh, there's
dad.
Two possums in the cradle now?
That's funny.
Also,
two possums in the cradle.
If Chuck's involved in this, like, I think Kalina has enough on her hands with one kid. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's a whole thing. Anyway, I wanted to say this really quickly.
I don't know how to say this, but he has, like, a boy brain.
Yeah. He took Finn to his pediatrician, but then ended up asking a lot of questions of the pediatrician. Can you look at this? Is this okay? Yeah. You know, how come it hurt when I pee sometime?
He told Finn to wait in the car.
Yeah, it was so weird. It was very hot. so he said the window is cracked, but he meant just there was a crack in the window. I wanted to say this, speaking of, like, weird swings in comedic things and making something like a mid-budget thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I gotta say this. I know we're in strike territory where we can't promote things. Right. But I can say this. Peacock, the streamer. Look, all the stream, ASAB, all streamers are bad right now because they're not doing what the right thing with writers and actors and all the, you know, royalties and stuff like that. ASAB, but Peacock has impressed me consistently with the originals that they're putting out.
Peacock has kind of come to the forefront of my feelings as well.
Terms of, when I see a thing coming out that is only Peacock, like it's a Peacock original,
right?
Yeah,
I'm at a point right now where I'm like, that means it's more likely good than bad.
I think so too.
Netflix, I have the opposite. If Netflix is releasing a Netflix original movie,
If it's an original movie, yeah. Documentary, yeah. Not?
No, that's fine. Yeah. But an original movie usually to me means, it's a three-quarters idea and a one-third effort. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't going to work.
We were talking about Between Two Ferns.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of they made a movie out of it, and there's a lot of funny moments in it. Really funny. But the movie feels so half-assed in terms of figuring out what it is. And I'm like, how did that happen?
A tough one. Because, I think there's so much good stuff. I think that is really hard. That's one of those, like, it fits in the world of like if Impractical Jokers, you know, does another movie where it's like you have this very specific thing. How do you then fictionalize a story?
I'm going to try to help the next one.
There you go. Peacock is really, it is impressing me because, Paul T. Goldman. Amazing.
Just started watching it because I'm working on a thing and it was like, let's watch this because it's gonna be kind of like it. And I just got through episode two and it's like, I'm like, it's couldn't bananas. Love this more.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't recreate this. You can't do another season. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I think what they've nailed is what Peacock has nailed with what I've watched is like serializing a movie. Paul T. Goldman is one long documentary.
Yeah, good call.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thoroughly surprised to find that Twisted Metal was a fun show.
I know, you said that. It's crazy.
To the point that Kalina like got hooked.
Yeah.
Like it was over. She's like, I missed watching Twisted Metal.
She bought a PS2.
Oh, yeah.
That was a joke.
And a clown mask.
Yeah.
She said, turns out
I have a thing for clowns.
Well, here's what's scary. She got the mask, and then she said, you're going to be the ice cream truck. And I said, how does that work? And then she said, I'll be inside you, driving you. And I went, what?
And I woke up the next morning.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
That's your karaoke song.
Yeah, that's fun. That is fun. And then recently, the reason I'm bringing it up now is Kalina and I just finished Mrs. Davis.
Okay.
Which was a show that they put out, which again does feel like a long movie, right?
Yeah.
Which is perfect because it's the most, and this is why I like Peacock and I want to support them. I just hate the fucking subscription structure that they have.
Yeah, I know.
Their structure is, I hate it. I hate it. Anyway, Peacock, fix that. Just give me a flat rate and fucking fix it. The show Mrs. Davis is, I said to Kalina last night, I'm like, imagine trying to describe the plot of this show to someone. And go, and like you would just have to constantly be like, but it makes sense and it's good.
Yeah.
Right.
That's how I felt. I'm telling people about Paul T. Goldman now.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
I'm telling my mom, I'm like, it's very funny. You would really like it just because I know her sense of humor. She's like, what is it? And I'm like, well, there's three things going on.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
It's a behind the scenes documentary. It's an amazing, so bad it's good movie.
And like it's like it's like a real true crime thing.
And a documentary about a true crime. And all three things are happening at once.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
It's crazy.
Mrs. Davis is wild. Truly fucking wild.
Is there a nun involved at some point?
Yes. So the nun is the main character. Yeah. The actress, I can't remember her name, but she was in Glow. And she is phenomenal. Like the story does rest on her shoulders. Can you perform this and make it work? So it's about a nun who is married to Jesus, and like,
as nuns are,
chats with him and hangs out with him and stuff like that, which is wild. Her ex-boyfriend is a
Judas.
Is a cowboy. It's very weird. They have they each have a part of the same liver. And her mother and father were magicians, and there is an AI app on everyone's phones called Mrs. Davis that has taken over the world.
Okay.
And she refuses to be a part of it because it killed her father. And now Mrs. Davis has managed to contact the nun and says, you need to go find the Holy Grail and give it to me.
Can I...
It's insane.
Well, this is...
It's insane.
I think the best kind of projects that are outside the box cannot be communicated
exactly
in words.
It's amazing.
Well, we're going through this process with an idea we came up with and we're pitching.
That's right, yeah.
And I'm like, I really want to shoot it because I don't know if we're ever going to be able to really put it into paper
yeah.
and be able to... And this is...
It's for HGTV. It's called Rec Center, and it's about rebuilding a community center.
Yeah, and like dealing with local government and right. the challenges that I don't know, like comptrollers.
No, but I was like, really
parking business Nazis.
but for real, like we've been talking about this idea of this pitch we came up with that's complicated to put into paper.
Yeah,
and so when I watched Paul T. Goldman. I started thinking about our recent pitch process and I was like, how did someone create a one sheet
of
what this is
right.
and communicate the tone, style, aesthetic, all this stuff?
Well, I do know about that specific project.
Okay.
The director of it
mm-hmm.
had been like went and started doing interviews of Paul T. Goldman.
So he had some tape.
Well before, I mean, even in the show. Oh, you're only on episode two.
Yeah.
So as you go along, you'll find out like he's been going and visiting and recording stuff with Paul T. Goldman okay. for like a decade.
Wow.
I think that, you know what it comes down to? It's like the director is like has enough money and time to be able to go like fish for stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like for our thing, we can't just be like, let's just fucking bang out a quick thing. And
I know. Same thing with...
It's a different thing.
I think Nathan For You would have the same issue.
Yeah.
But he actually did his own public access show.
Yeah, so he had a track
record.
Like
a version of it. And they were like, we want to make this
50%. It wasn't public access. It was for Canadian television.
That's
it was
right.
part of a comedy news show, like their daily show.
That's right. That's
I believe
right.
it was This Hour Has 22 Minutes, I think is the name
yeah,
of it.
And he had yeah, and it was not Nathan For You. It was like Nathan
On Your
on
Side.
Your side. Yeah. That's what it was, yeah.
On Your Side.
Yeah, on Your Side. Yeah, yeah.
But no, so I just wanted to say Peacock is exciting me because they're doing these things, because they're taking some risks and doing a couple wild swings.
Yeah.
Mrs. Davis is a show. The reason I wanted to bring it up is what I said earlier about Clifford.
Yeah.
How the fuck did this get made?
Right.
And I understand that Damon Lindelof is a big part of, I believe it was him, is a big part of why Mrs. Davis went.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he was a part of this thing. But it's great. The show, I do recommend it. I am amazed that they pulled it off and it was satisfactory to me.
Yeah.
It's only one season. They've not hinted at another season. And it really does feel like this is a movie.
Right.
And it belongs in 8 episodes because of all of this story happening. Okay. You know what I mean? It's so crazy. I highly recommend it. And I want to like, I want to support, this sounds so weird. And it maybe this is a good question for the podcast and like where we are in 2023. You know, ASAP, all streamers are bad.
Yes.
Networks are shitty. You know, the companies involved are doing a lot of the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
But when a company starts to do the thing where it's like, yeah, more of that.
Yeah.
How do I support that element of Peacock?
Right.
Well, this is one of the things I've been thinking about during this whole conversation is I think a lot of the streamers are basically like, let's replicate what people know. So we're going to make a comedy movie. Mm-hmm, we're going to make mm-hmm. a heist movie. We're going to make whatever.
Yeah.
And all those things seem to fall short, right? But when they do something outside the box that actually fits into this new model that's mm-hmm. more interesting, that's what seems to work.
Yeah.
Like for me, my favorite stuff, the Bash Brothers project from Lonely Island on Netflix.
Yep.
The Bo Burnham's Inside, which would not air on HBO as a traditional comedy special,
mm-hmm.
even though it was billed as a comedy special
on Netflix, sure.
It has to be something like that.
Yeah.
And so and even something like Stranger Things, I think that's really specific to streaming where they're like, well, yeah, this one's 34 minutes long and the finale is 90 minutes long and
yeah,
so it's 2 hours long.
Yeah.
Even that, to me, is playing with that format.
Yeah.
But yes, how do you say, I approve of these things that you're doing?
I want you to keep making these original things that work.
I guess,
like Netflix, the problem there is like their original isn't original.
Right.
And it feels like Peacock is the only streamer outside of HBO, but it's tough because HBO is like it's Max and it's part of this other thing that does suck. So like original OG HBO like still does make good shit and still does produce things that are a risk. You know what I mean?
It's interesting because all these different companies, what's actually happening that I think people don't really realize is there's the new heads of all the companies like here's the new stuff we're producing and we're all tied to specific back catalogs.
Mm.
So HBO has the benefit of The Sopranos and all these different, like Curb Your Enthusiasm, all these different awesome shows, and they want to continue to exist in the world of like elite television.
Yeah.
And sometimes that definitely happens, for sure, with HBO, but sometimes it doesn't.
Right. Well, but HBO is very careful about keeping things kind of separated between this is for like Max or this kind of streaming thing.
Yeah.
But then here's our core television stuff.
Yeah.
That does air like traditional, like if you have the HBO channel,
right.
That's where you can watch The Righteous Gemstones or Succession or something like that.
Yeah.
That's all being produced by HBO. We're making this stuff for our channel.
Yeah.
Versus this is a larger thing because Warner Brothers is under the parent company of this.
Yep.
We're Time Warner. We have access to all of these things.
I think Procter & Gamble owns them all now.
Yeah, it's
Tied the series.
Well, I wanted to just personally say that I love all of the new shows that Monsanto is making.
Yes.
I think they're great.
It's a really
GMS.
It is a funny thing though, because you have like Disney Plus, and it's like they have the Marvel back catalog and the Disney back catalog.
Yeah.
And then you have HBO Max, which has this amazing HBO back catalog of shows and the DC movies.
Right.
Which are so disparate.
Yeah, yeah.
They're almost opposites.
Yeah.
Whereas Marvel and Disney feels a little bit similar in terms of quality and prestige, I guess. But it's really different from what are they producing now? What are they making now?
Yeah.
Netflix is so new that their back catalog has to come from existing properties that are owned by other production companies.
Yeah. Well, you know? I think a big part of Netflix, I think their model, Netflix never wanted to be
a producer
of anything.
Yeah. Right?
They wanted to sell, I think originally, the original version of Netflix, I believe, was selling dog food. Like, they wanted to do a subscription service.
For dog food?
The creators of Netflix wanted a subscription service. That's it.
Yeah.
They were like, we have this idea for a business model to do membership-based subscription service. You pay this, and it gets sent to you. And the first idea they started to run with was, like, dog food or dog treats or something like that. It wasn't until something else came about where they went, oh, DVDs. We could do DVDs by mail. That's a subscription service.
Yeah.
That's how it all started.
Yeah.
Netflix, I'm sure there are people that work there that want to make good stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of what Netflix does is just like gaming their library and doing a bunch of bullshit.
Of course.
Like I feel like a bigot when I go on Netflix now because I will openly complain to like Kalina or whoever's in my house, anyone walking by, I open the window, I start screaming.
Hey.
And then I realize I'm just Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, or as Chuck says, Gran Turismo.
it's Kalina. She keeps talking to me about fucking Twisted Metal.
But the way they have filled out their library recently is going, oh, international market.
Yeah.
Right. So now when I go on Netflix and it'll be like 90s comedy, I'm like, awesome. Let me check 90s comedy. And the catalog is like 50 Bollywood movies and a bunch of like, there'll be like a bunch of like stuff from the Netherlands, stuff from Spain, stuff from Mexico. And I'm like, listen, I'm pro taking all of this stuff.
Yep.
Right. Yep. That's good. And there are some shows that I absolutely, Money Heist is top notch.
Yeah.
Love it.
Dark, all that stuff.
Dark is amazing. So that's German, that's Spanish. Like, let's do this.
Yep.
I'm in. But if I see the tab that says 90s comedies,
right,
and I'm going through and it's just like Liar, Liar, and, Bulletproof, the Adam Sandler movie, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's just like, I'm trying to like Klaus and Diego.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what Klaus and Diego is.
Yeah.
It's a 90s comedy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, this says it was produced in 2005. Who is this for?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I just
feel weird. That was when the 90s culture caught up to the home country of both Klaus and Diego.
Yeah. It is one country.
Yes.
I believe it is Argentina. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think your answer is basically as boring as this sounds, is like you get the service and you pay for it, and then you openly tweet, tag, and like
just
kind
be a
of
dick?
And just like be like, hey, I think
keep doing this.
I think Paul T. Goldman is great. Like, I'd love to see more stuff like this.
Yeah.
And if more people did that, in a huge amount than they would.
Yeah. And the other show that was Peacock as well.
What was it?
God damn it!
Sunday Night Football.
No.
Oh.
I will say
that. Why did this happen to me? You know what? Natasha Lyonne.
Oh yeah, she's
Poker Face. Poker Face.
Yeah. Poker Face. That's the other one I want to watch.
I always call it Natasha Lyonne is Columbo.
Yeah, accurate.
It's funny.
Yeah.
You know what Peacock's back catalog is? It's the NBC shows,
yeah,
including
Office,
the Office
Friends,
Superfan
like
episodes. Yeah. And to me, The Office,
that's amazing.
The Office Superfan episodes is the same kind of thing I'm talking about, where it's like you have this new model. What can you do with it?
Yeah.
And making 35-minute versions of this is perfect. Yeah. But they have the WWF back catalog, which is every wrestling thing in history now.
Yeah.
Because the WWF bought all the tape collections from every company. So they have everything.
You know what they don't have?
What's that?
They don't have your tapes.
I don't have those.
I keep trying to sell them.
Yeah.
One of the storylines in my old backyard wrestling is that Vince McMahon tricks us into selling the company
to him, which I think is really funny. Yeah.
I will say, though, this week, WWE has been sold, and the sale is finalizing this week.
Who is it to?
It's just some big conglomerate.
Oh, of course.
Endeavor that also owns UFC.
Oh, I thought that there was a lot of complaints. I don't know if you heard about this, that a Saudi Arabian company was going to buy WWF and basically take women's wrestling away because they have these like antiquated views. Yeah.
Well, when they were going to
bring back
donkey wrestling.
No. They were going to bring back for somebody who can't remember
Iron
things.
Sheik. Like,
Iron Sheik. Thank you so much.
May he rest in peace.
I'm struggling with sinus Afrin business.
Yeah.
All the trying to remember names stuff, it's all gone.
That's true.
Yeah. Or is that just like...
He said this to me the day after you left.
Is this early onset something? Do I have to worry? Should I start doing more crosswords?
I think so.
You should.
Yeah, my cryptoquips?
Yeah.
God damn it.
I love crosswords.
But yeah, so I'm glad to hear that wasn't a thing, because people were flipping out about that.
Yeah. No, it's too. I think the company is called Endeavor, and so they're like, oh, last Monday's Raw was the last Monday of the Vince McMahon era. But I'm like, well, he's still gonna be in charge.
Yeah.
Like,
But yeah, I think this was an interesting talk. I mean,
we didn't get to any of the things.
You know what? Let's close with your big story.
No, because we're already at an hour 22.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's
fine. Can I end with this, though?
Yes.
Because we are talking in this realm, right? Tapes have come up.
Yeah.
Old movies like Clifford.
Clifford.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Kathy Lee Clifford?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Gifford.
Does that work for anybody?
Kathleen Lee Gifford. I like the idea of her changing her persona.
Sure, yeah. To try and get rid of the sweatshops.
Yeah.
So VHS tapes. I was talking about this with the boys here pre-recording.
Right.
And here's my thing. I realized last night I was thinking about this kind of thing and VHS tapes, and I was thinking, man, VHS tapes alone are so like important to my history.
Me too, yeah.
Right.
I remember them so fondly.
Yeah.
You know, saving up and getting my first VHS camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making little movies, recording in camera, or you know, editing in camera.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like every scene starting with go, right? Yeah. And, you know, it's like that kind of thing. And I love VHS tapes. I don't have a VCR.
Okay.
And I don't really have a desire to have a collection of VHS tapes that I play on a VCR. That's not where I'm at.
Right.
What I would love is a VHS tape in some way framed and put on my wall so I can see it and think fondly of it. Right. I don't want an art piece where it's like an image of a VHS tape.
Okay.
I already have that. I already have a framed thing that's like illustrated a stack of VHS tapes.
Yeah, I drew it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's why they were all really disturbing titles.
Yeah, it wasn't a stack of VHS. That was a drawing of Chuck.
Oh, you're not very good then.
No. Yeah.
But I don't want that.
Right.
I want an actual VHS tape. The problem is I just looked at stuff last night, and it looks like the only stuff you can get is like framed, like very Etsy. Mm. It's a frame for a VHS tape.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. More like, look, it's this movie.
Okay.
And I'm like, it's not the movie. And of course, you know, it's Etsy, so you can get a million night lights that are just old VHS tapes that they put cheap ass like LED strips
yep.
in.
Yep.
I don't want that shit. I want something like you were talking about, like the broken down version where it's like, you know, here's the Game Boy and it's like all the pieces all around it. I found one of those on Etsy. Doesn't even have glass on it. It's dumb.
Okay. Yeah.
So I guess I'm putting this out there as a question to our viewer / listener.
Yeah.
Do you know of or can you think of a good way to have a VHS tape as a
display piece?
As like a little memory, you know what I mean?
A little shadow box type thing.
Like a shadow box type thing. Put the VHS in there, but celebrate not the movie that the tape is,
but
celebrate the actual object.
Okay.
You know
that's where that's a good way to say it. I want to celebrate the object of a video cassette.
Can I give you maybe just a cool idea of a jumping off point?
Yeah.
It would be cool to have a shadow box where the back, you know, if it was a shadow box or a shelf, who knows, all the old cardboard sleeves of the ones that were blank. All those next to each other would be cool with the blank VHS tape in front of it.
Yeah, that would be very fun.
I love all that art.
Oh, yeah. The blank tape means so much to me. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, sure. I but either throw in a VHS in my camcorder to shoot stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, now I'm a stand-up comic, but, you know, filmmaker. You know what I mean? Like, I directed a movie. Like, this is important to me. You know what I mean?
I always wanted to make, like, a production studio logo for like, you know, I always refer to my production company as, like, State and Manor Productions because I made everything and I built everything from my house.
Yeah.
And I wanted the blank VHS tape to be the logo thing for it. But it's hard to communicate that it's blank.
Sure.
But I guess that doesn't matter, does it? If it's just a VHS tape with nothing on it?
I think that's okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'll think about it.
Also, Ray and I have trademarked State and Manor Productions. So if you want. Yes.
And you want let me tell you, there are some niche categories that show up on a hub of some kind.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And let me say, the niche is like niche. Yeah.
A lot of downvotes.
Yeah. And I said, let's go with what's really popular, which is, unfortunately, taboo subjects.
Yep.
Right.
And Clifford. I kept saying in the pitch meeting,
Step Clifford,
let's go from niche to niche and let's make $1 million.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's so dumb. So, viewer, listener, if you know of a way or can think of a way to, like, creatively, in a nice, clean, like, cool, like, shadow box frame or some kind of thing to celebrate a VHS tape, and please don't say, just put a VHS tape in a shadow box. Like, it kind of defeats the purpose that way.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of cool way to celebrate a video cassette? That's really what I want.
A non-specific VHS
cassette. Yeah, because it means... God damn, that object really does mean something to me. It's crazy.
Me too. I feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
It represents the openness of idea.
Yes. And like the creativity and the excitement. It gives me this thing of not only the shit that I used to make when I was a kid, that I would be humiliated if I even saw it today, let alone anyone else. But also the excitement of actual movies back then.
Right.
The feeling of holding like 3 VHS tapes that you got on the Dollar Tuesday at the video store that wasn't a chain, that was your local video store, and you dropped the $3 that you have plus those other 2 because you had $5. Yep. So you went in. Maybe it's just, I should stop saying you because this was me. Rode my bike to the video store.
Yeah.
It was Dollar Tuesdays and I could go and get 3 tapes for $3. And then I would have $2 left over. That was my allowance.
Yep.
And I'd get like a Butterfinger or some shit. And I'd ride my bike home. The feeling of having 3 movies you haven't seen.
Yeah.
Or maybe 2 you haven't. One that you love but you don't own.
Yep.
And you know, like, you can only have this for 24 hours. But...
It's going to be a great
opportunities
24 hours.
Are endless.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like, holy shit, there's a road stretched out in front of you that's longer than all the tape inside this cassette, right? It's so exciting.
I have so much to say about this, but
it gives me a feeling.
Me
it really
too.
Does of
me
like,
too.
of like, I'm going to stay up late tonight
and
watch Terminator 2 for the first time.
Mm. Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid in middle school, I think it was like eighth grade, we were supposed to do some kind of project. I don't even remember what it was for, but I convinced the teacher and my mom that this was a worthwhile pursuit, that I was going to watch an R-rated movie from the 70s, an R-rated movie from the 80s, and an R-rated movie from the 90s, and track the language that's in the R-rated movie,
right?
To see how the rating system has changed, or how it doesn't even matter. I was making shit up.
It's a great idea.
You've convinced me as well. I convinced this teacher and my mom that it was school for me to rent three movies that were rated R in eighth grade and watch them and just write down how many fucks and shits are in there. Like, that was it. And Terminator 2 was like, that's how I got to see Terminator 2 for the first time. Me being like, I think this is a good science.
Yeah.
That I'm doing a science.
I love that.
I'm a bioinformatician.
I love it, and I have so much to say, and I think we should save a little bit of my topic.
For sure. Right. So thank you, and please tell me how I do this.
Yeah.
And if you want to make one that's super cool, I'll take it.
But it better be super cool.
I like the idea.
Super cool. If it's only cool, go fuck yourself.
I'm just saying, the idea of one that's kind of a square, and it's the spine labels of all the blank ones behind it with a VHS. It's pretty cool. I like that.
That is good. I like that. That sounds like a solid craft idea for one of our listeners to do. So thank you. This is the new segment that I've introduced to the podcast called
Make Me a
Hearts
Thing.
And Grafts. We put our heart out there in these arts. Right?
Yep.
And also, if we try to do crafts, we will get injured and require skin grafts. Yes. Hearts and grafts.
Yep.
Let us
go.
No,
Mitzi.
Folks out there, thank
you
all.
What's Brad making? Brad's making a necklace.
So
out of
much.
Teeth?
For watching and or listening. We appreciate it.
It's a baby rattle.
If you want to reach out, funbearablepod@gmail.com or funbearablepod at funbearablepod on social medias. There we go. Got my prepositions mixed up. But yeah, we are excited for you to be here. We appreciate it.
Brad's you know how some people are anti-pronoun?
Anti-preposition.
Yeah. He hates prepositions and propositions. He hates both.
Both are too woke for me.
Vote no one.
He loves a proclamation.
Yes. Most proclamations. for Ray Harrington and Chuck Staten, I am Brad Rohr saying thank you so much, and we're sorry for being funbearable.